Take your Bibles with me tonight and turn to the Gospel of John. If you were in COU with me, we looked at that extensively tonight. The Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, as we continue in talking about going deeper in the Word of God or in God's Word. And we talked about last month, we talked about God Himself. We talked about that extensively tonight. We looked at probably the most famous verse of Scripture in the entire Bible. We looked at that in the Greek tonight in COU, that being John 3:16. And at the cornerstone of this is the word theos, or theos, and that is God. God is the cornerstone of that. It is through Jesus Christ, His Son, that we have eternal life. God sent His only begotten Son, according to John 3:16. He sent His only Son to die for all of us that we may have forgiveness of sin. So we're looking at that. Of course, next month we'll be looking at the Holy Spirit. Those three things encompass what we know as the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We will look at those three things. We're looking at now, we're looking at the example that Jesus set for all of us. What did He do? And we begin to look at those things. In fact, here in John chapter 13 and verse 15, Jesus Himself says, "For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." So Jesus Himself tells us, and many, however, would say, well, Jesus was only talking to the people that were right there around Him at that time. No, that echoes, that statement is perpetual. It finds itself right here tonight talking to every one of us in this room here this evening. It was not just written for those people there to that day. It is written for you and I now as well. Then if you turn over to 1 Peter, take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 19. Word of God tells us this: for this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. And Father, I do pray tonight that for every one of us, that God, we would take the example that Your Son Jesus set years and years ago, that God, we read about here in Your Word, that Father, we would be so mindful of the fact that Jesus set this example. God, we would follow that here in the 21st century. That, Lord, by following His example, lives may be changed for eternity. Lord, make that ever so real to us tonight as we look at Your Word. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. We're just going to flash through these very quickly here. You remember this morning, car companies make prototypes. Television programs make pilots, and of course, movies make storyboards. These are the originals, if you will, that everything else is based on. It is the examples that are set for everything else to follow. We learned here in the Word of God that Jesus Himself, He is that example. This morning we saw that, first of all, Jesus set the example of sanctification. Sanctification, it literally means to make holy or to set apart. Every one of us in this room here tonight, if we are born again believers, we are just that, or at least we ought to be. We are holy and set apart. We ought to be different. Different than the world we live in today. And I don't understand this, if I may chase this rabbit through the briar patch for just a second. I don't understand what happened to that. It seems as if in this day and age now, the church is trying to be like the world. When God's Word says clearly that we will be different. It's all right to be different. It's all right not to fit in with the world in which you and I live in. Listen, today we are different. Why? Because we have been set apart. We are sanctified. We are, and only God through Jesus Christ has done that. Jesus Himself, He was set apart. Jesus Himself, He was totally different. He was set apart from the folks that He found Himself around. First of all, we saw this, and one of the reasons that Jesus was different or set apart, Jesus only wanted to please His Father. That's what He wanted to do. We saw that in John chapter 8, verse 29. If you were in COU tonight, we talked about that. We talked about what He, why, who was He talking to when He said that? When He said what He did in John chapter 8, verse 29, why and who did He say that to? We talked, had a lengthy discussion about that this evening. Okay? The second thing that we saw is this, is Jesus understood the importance of focusing on the work of God. Take your Bibles, turn with me now to John. Turn with me to John chapter 9. Let's go back there for just a moment. John chapter 9 and verse 4. John chapter 9 and verse 4. John chapter 9 verse 4. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible tells us this, Jesus Himself speaking, we must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. I shared with you this morning, give you the example. My generation, Generation X baby busters, born from 1965 to 1979. That's Generation X. I think we're in Generation Y now. Is what we're dealing with now. But Generation X, I shared that with you. We're Reagan Cold War era. That's us. We're highly pessimistic. We're highly pessimistic and we are self-reliant, if you will, when it comes to the things of God. All right? And I wrote this down. I shared it with you this morning. Right now, we are in a quagmire of unprecedented proportions. When it comes to the younger generation in this land, we really are tonight. We are in a fight for our lives tonight. We are in a fight. Are you hearing this, church? We are in a fight for the very existence of the church as we know it. And listen to me tonight. If something is not done, if this generation that is coming along now, the generation Y, I'm talking about now, back up with me for just a moment, to the year 2000, to the date in which you and I live in right now, if something is not done, if though that age group is not reached, we in trouble. You don't believe me? Look around in here tonight. Just like I shared with you Wednesday night. The Generation Xers. The 40-somethings. I have friends tonight. The 40-somethings. I have friends tonight. They know I'm a preacher boy. They know I preach every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They know that. They tell me to my face the reason they don't go to church, the reason they don't go to church is because they don't need that. And they're not talking about Jesus or God, because they will tell you that quick that they believe in Jesus and God, that they know Jesus and God exist. They know that He is real. What they're talking about is this. They are listen to this. They are talking about those that they have come into contact with that say they are believers, but yet are doing something otherwise. They don't need that. Tonight, guys, listen. And you say, well, wait a minute, that is an unsurmountable task. There's no way we can do anything. Yes, we can. I guarantee you we can do something about it. I guarantee you tonight that this church sitting out here on Forrester Road outside Dothan, Alabama, in Cowartz, Alabama, I guarantee you tonight this church that is Grandview Baptist Church can make a difference. We can make a difference. Listen, but listen to this now. It's going to take us outside our comfort zone. I mean, way outside our comfort zone. It is going to take us standing for God, no matter what man may think or say. Whoops. We're going to be different. And we have got to be willing to be different wherever we find ourselves. That is the listen, and I don't know the answer tonight. I don't. But that is the message that has got to be conveyed somehow, some way to a generation that is coming up, because you know this as well as I do tonight. You know this as well as I do. We talked about it in COU tonight. You know this as well as I do that today, for whatever reason, Christianity is taboo in this society. But we, in our efforts at this church, we have got to develop and convey the message that it is all right. In fact, it is something to be desired to be a believer tonight. That it is something that I want to be. I don't care what anybody says or how they act. Doggone it. As my daddy used to say, if it even takes a little hide off my back, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to quit. I've got that Jerry Clower bulldog hang on for everishness. I don't care what you say or do. I'm a believer and I'm standing for God no matter what. That's what we got to do. Thank you for allowing me to chase that rabbit. Now, let's move on. I got too many papers. Here we go. We are to be sanctified in our lives. We are to be sanctified. If you're writing this down, we are to be sanctified in our lives. Take your Bibles with me and turn to 1 Corinthians for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Because listen to this. Once, I pray you're not anymore, but once you or we were part of this world. And you, tonight, listen to me. If you're a born again believer sitting in this room tonight, you shouldn't be part. And what I mean by that, well, just follow me. Let's allow the Word of God to answer that question rather than me. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Word of God tells us this. Or did you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Everybody, woo! Yes! Amen! Well, I can see them at Corinth now, First Baptist Corinth. They're just shouting, hallelujah. Yes, Paul, you preach it. Well, they were actually reading it to them. But I can see them now just getting so excited. You're exactly right. Them filthy, stinking drunks, them adulterers, them homosexuals, you're exactly right. They are going to spend eternity in hell. That's what they're going to do, Paul. You're exactly right. And they were living in a state of total rebellion against God. I am not going to do it. Let me put it in Southern English. I ain't going to do it. I ain't doing it. They were totally in rebellion to God. Listen to this. I come across this story. This is talking about the first President Bush. Listen to this story. After it was disclosed that President Bush had banned broccoli aboard Air Force One, the nation was embroiled in a broccoli discussion. As broccoli growers, listen to this, dispatched 10 tons of the vegetable free of charge to Washington. The president reiterated his distaste with gusto when he said, and I quote, "I do not like broccoli and haven't liked it since I was a little kid. My mother made me eat it, and I am president of the United States of America, and I'm not going to eat any more broccoli." Now look, this is the last statement I'm going to have on broccoli. They are truckloads of broccoli at this very moment descending on Washington. My family is divided. For the broccoli vote out there, listen to this, Barbara loves broccoli. She has tried to make me eat it. She eats it all the time herself. So she can go out and meet the caravan of broccoli that's coming into town. Total rebellion. And you know what's so funny about that? We're sometimes in rebellion to God as well. In fact, there was a time in your life, listen, and in my life as well, listen to this, that we were rebelling against God. And you know what's even more frightening, or what's even more sad tonight? They are believers tonight that are in rebellion against God. And we don't like to admit that. We don't like to say that, but it's the truth. See, once we were part of the world. Because notice this, secondly, if you're writing these down, when we became believers, that should have changed. Notice what Paul says, because he drives it home here in verse 11 when he says this. Now remember in verses 9 and 10, he has said this. He has talked about fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunks, rivalers, swindlers. All of them, Bible says, not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And everybody, amen, Paul. You're preaching a good word, brother. Bring it on, amen. And then Paul says in verse 11, he looks out across the audience and says, and such were some of you. I don't know about you. Can't speak for you. I'm speaking for me right now. Your pastor fell into one of those groups that I just read. I was there. I was one of them. I was one of the ones that Paul mentions there in verses 9 and 10. I was one of the ones that quite honestly, listen to this, that quite honestly a lot of people looked down on and said, that long-haired hippie boy, there is no way he'll ever see heaven. I was one of them. But notice this. Paul says in verse 11, and such were some of you. But praise be unto God, there is the biggest three-letter word in the entire Bible. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Amen. Because listen to me tonight. Sitting in this room here tonight, if your life is changed, if you are changed tonight, the only thing that has done that tonight is not you, It is God Almighty through the act of His Son Jesus Christ. When Christ died on the cross for you and I, the shed blood of Jesus that washes us clean of all of our sins, that is what differentiates you and me from this world. That's it. When you and I became a believer, it changed. Or at least it ought to have changed. When the Spirit of God spoke to our hearts, it should have changed our lives. I don't know about you, but I remember it happening like it happened 20 minutes ago. I can still see it right now. I can still see me driving down that road in that 66 Mustang. I can still see me driving down that road, driving past Lynn's house. I can still see me doing it, making a right on Old Auburn Road and heading back towards my house. And I'm here to tell you, it's as if the heavens itself split, not audibly, but it was in my spirit and in my heart that God Himself said, if you don't change, you will die and spend eternity in hell. And it was the very Spirit of God that did that. It wasn't something that I did. It wasn't something that I dreamed up. No, it was the convicting Spirit of God. Listen to what Isaac Newton's first law of motion states. Listen to this. Everything continues in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, that's physics. You're talking about physics. Oh, hold on. You can pull that over into the spiritual world as well. Because listen to this tonight. Unless the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and yours, listen to me tonight, unless the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and begins to move you in the direction of salvation, you will never save yourself. It's not going to happen. But when the Spirit of God moves upon you, that's when it changes. That's when the old life passes away. And that, yes, is when we have been transformed. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. Don't go to sleep on me just yet. Romans, chapter 12. I'm going to buy me a belt that fits yet. Or either start eating more or one. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. When you're there, say amen. Don't you get excited about the Word of God? I mean, really. Don't you get excited about the Word of God? Listen, this is what's changed your life, or at least it ought to be what's changed your life. If you've changed your own life, then you're not excited about this. If you're sitting in this place tonight and your self-proclaimed salvation is all you're holding on to, you got trouble. And a bunch of it. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you are holding on to the Word of God that has changed your life forever, man, you ought to be shouting from the hilltop. You ought to be excited tonight to know that what we're reading tonight is truth. And that you have been transformed. You are not the same person because Paul writes right here in chapter 12, verse 1, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Can I stop right there and say this? I'm going to be honest with you. I love to eat. So he's lost his mind. Just hold on now. Hold on. I mean, I love it. Listen to me. I love fried chicken before I ever became a believer. Before I became a preacher. I loved fried chicken before. Hey, it's good stuff. Amen. Somebody say amen, because y'all know y'all love it. And listen to this. I love to eat. I love it. Man, I would do it would do me nothing better tonight than to drive right up here to Publix, and I know exactly where they're at. When you walk in that front door of Publix right there and you take a right, they got this place out there with a candy that is stacked from here to there. And I'm here to tell you right at the end, just on the end of that aisle right there, is one of those big Reese's chocolate stuffed peanut butter eggs. That sucker's this big. You can take two of them, melt them together, and have a football. I mean, this thing is huge. I would love nothing more than to take one of them things, shoot, get two of them, and go back there and get a gallon of whole milk and go to the house, sit down, slice that baby up, and sit there with a glass, put ice in it, make it even colder in that milk, and sit there and eat that and watch TV and just wonder what everybody else is doing. And I could sit there and do that, and you know what? Listen to me. Listen to this. Follow me with this. And I'd be in the same cotton-picking shape I was in on January the 27th when I was fixing to leave this world and walk into eternity. Why? Because nothing would have changed. And it is the same way in your and my Christian life. If we are not transformed, if we are not different, then don't expect anything different to happen in your life. I'm here to tell you tonight, listen to me, I eat cabbage and corned beef at lunch, but I didn't eat half a cow. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this, guys. Listen to me tonight. If you're a born-again believer, you're a different person. Or at least you ought to be. You ought to act different. You ought to talk different. You ought to live different. Things should be different. Your thought process ought to be different. The way you live is just totally different. It's not the same, because Paul writes right here. He tells us this. He says that we are to be a living sacrifice. Every day we die daily. I'm going to be honest with you. In the morning when that alarm clock goes off, if I had a hammer, I'd smash that sucker. I don't want to get up. Maybe you do. Sacrifice. The body wants to do one thing, but I know the Word of God tells me I need to do something else. I don't want to go to the medical center three times a week and spend an hour. Listen, I'm just being honest with you. I'm not the youngest person anymore, praise God. There's a 40-year-old in there with me that has had three stints. I run across a 39-year-old, listen to me, 2 weeks ago, that had triple bypass surgery. But I know good and well tonight that that is what's going to transform my life physically. I know. I don't want to do it. And you know what? That's a sacrifice. And you know what the Word of God is telling you and me right here tonight? That the only thing that is going to transform you and I is true sacrifice on your behalf and on my behalf. That's the only thing. That's the only thing it's going to do. And you know what? Listen to me. So many times we want to try to make our life, we want to say that we're transformed, but yet and still we're truly not. Listen to this. I love this one. The motorhome, talking about camping here now, the motorhome has allowed us to put all the conveniences of home on wheels. A camper, speaking of people, no longer needs to be to contend with sleeping in a sleeping bag, cooking over a fire, or hauling water from a stream. Boy, now that's roughing it. That's not in here. I just said that. Now, he can park a fully equipped home on a cement slab in the midst of a few pine trees and hook up to a water line, a sewer line, and electricity. One motorhome I saw recently had a satellite dish attached on the top. No more bother with dirt, no more smoke from the fire, no more drudgery of walking to the stream. Now it is possible to go camping and never have to go outside. We buy a motorhome with the hope of seeing new places, of getting out into the world, yet we deck it out with the same furnishings as in our living rooms. Thus, nothing has really changed. We may drive to a new place, set ourselves in new surroundings, but the newness goes unnoticed, for we've only carried along the old setting. The adventure of a new life in Christ begins when the comfortable patterns of the old life are left behind. Man, I wish I would have thought of that. That's good. Because see, today in a Christian life, what we're trying to do is we're trying to mesh the old life with the new life in Christ, and it's not working. You are either going to be one or the other. You cannot be in between. It won't happen. You may try, but you're going to run yourself bananas trying. Okay? Let's move on. Listen to this. This was a brief, expressive eulogy that was pronounced by Martin Luther. Listen to this. Pronounced by Martin Luther upon a pastor in 1522. His name was Nicholas Hausmann. And this is what Martin Luther said. This is a eulogy. I love this. What we preach, Luther said, what we preach, he lived. Think about that for just a second. What we preached, he lives. Are you doing that? Listen to me tonight. I can stand up here. I can stomp, spit, and shout and carry on. Make a few funnies. Make people laugh. Make people feel good. Sometimes make people feel bad. But you know what? Listen to me tonight. What really matters tonight, and what really matters for you and for me, is if when we walk out this door right here, we're going to do what that book says. That's what matters. Now the question is tonight, are you and I willing to transform our lives? Because listen to me tonight, listen to this. We have a generation surrounding us that are watching us, watching every move we make. And more so than ever in the history of this United States, there is a generation that is basing their faith on the generation they're observing. You say, well, that ain't right. True. But they are watching us to see what we do, how we act, and what we say, whether or not they're going to be believers as well. Second point. My gracious. Do you know what time it is? Yep, it's 5:45. I know what y'all laughing at. It's 5:45 in Mike's world. Oh, I didn't fast forward. I'm sorry. I didn't spring forward. Jesus set the example of service. Take your Bibles with me and turn to Mark. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Notice this. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Jesus set the example of service. Jesus lived a life of service. Can I say this for just a moment? This is just your pastor's casual observance. This is just your pastor's casual observance in this day and age in which we live in. But did you realize this? It seems as if more so than ever that it is about what the church can do for me rather than what I can do for the church or the kingdom of God. Did you hear what I said? This is just my casual observance that now, in the 21st century, it is more about what the church can do for me rather than what I can do for the church or the kingdom of God. More so than ever. Jesus says, though, here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Jesus Himself said, "I didn't come here for you to serve me. I come here to serve you." Somehow or another, we've got that all twisted around. Don't ask me to explain that. I don't know. I don't know how it happened. I really don't. But we've got that all twisted around. It's more now, listen to me, it's more now about what God can do for me rather than what I can do for God. More so than ever. And Jesus Himself said, "I didn't come here for you to serve me. I come here to serve you." I don't get it. I don't understand it. Listen to this. In an article entitled, "Do Churches Contribute to Their Communities?" We're going in right here. I still got a lot to go, but I just got a lot to go. In an article entitled, "Do Churches Contribute to Their Communities?" David Kinnaman, who, by the way, is the president of the Barna Group, and he also wrote Unchristian. Anybody ever read that book, Unchristian? If you get a chance, read it. It's really eye-opening. Unchristian, he wrote that, and he's also president of the Barna Group, gives four observations about the church's involvement in the communities in which they're planted. In his last statement, in his fourth statement, he writes this: "Introducing people to a transformed life in Christ is rarely perceived to be an act of community service." In other words, this, in seeing someone's life transformed in a community by Jesus Christ is not considered community service in this day and age. He goes on and says this: "There seems to be a disconnect for most Americans between serving the community and helping individuals find their way to God through Christ. Ministry-related goals such as teaching the Bible, introducing people to Christ, and bringing people to salvation are infrequently viewed as a primary way to serve the community." Did you hear what he said? "Even among many churchgoers, contributing positively to the community is perceived to be the result of offering the right mix of public service programs." He's talking about the church. Public service programs. Yet this seems to miss an important biblical pattern. You change communities by transforming lives. Wow. What are we doing? Can I share my heart with you? And we're going to pray and we're going to go home. If the Lord calls me home, which I pray he doesn't. I'm not ready to go yet. Now I'm ready spiritually. I'm ready. But I'm not ready to check out just yet. You know what I'm saying? I got my ticket, but I don't want it punched yet. There we go. That's a good one. Listen to this. Years from now, when someone is doing the service, I would love for this to be said. I'm going to tell you what. The church this man was a part of transformed Cowartz, Alabama. Father God, I pray that we do just that. Now, God, we can't do it ourselves. There's no way. I can't do it, neither can anybody else in this room. But Lord God, I pray the day would come that it would be said of this great church that God Grandview transformed Cowartz, Alabama. The Lord, first of all, they realized that they had to be transformed themselves. God, that they realized to follow the example Christ set was God to serve rather than desire to be served. God, may we do that. Lord, it begins with individuals tonight. Friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is what I'm going to do tonight. I want to ask you to come right here to this altar. You don't have to come to me. I know I say that near about every time. And I'm sincere with that. Tonight, maybe you need to be transformed right here in this moment. Right now. You. Say, preacher, I've never been transformed like what you're talking about here. I'm not really sure what you're talking about. Come on. I'll be more than happy to talk with you. Brother Allen will be more than happy to talk with you. Maybe you just want to talk to God. Come on tonight. Maybe tonight you want to make that commitment. Now, we're not going to sing, so don't wait till we're going to start singing, because we're not going to do that tonight. It's just for you right now. So wherever you're at, God's speaking to your heart. You get up, you come on right now. Maybe you just need to pray. Come on. You say, tonight is the night I want to be transformed. Tonight is the night I want to make a difference in this community. Tonight is the night I want to begin and to make a difference in the job that I live, that I work at. Tonight is the night I want to begin and make a difference in the family that I'm part of. Tonight is the night that I want to make a difference. Because I realize that Jesus has set that example for me. And I'm going to do everything I can to follow the example He set. Come on, right now.